I'm excited to head into this new year with you, and I'm excited about the things that I see in front of me for our church. And we're going to be talking about faith over the next several weeks. Faith for you as an individual, but faith for our church as well. But I want to start out with a little bit of a survey. I need your help this morning. And so, how many of you, and just answer honestly, it's just going to help me. I'm just going to do a little visual survey. When it comes to our sermon time on these weekends, when you know you come in and you're ready to read the Bible with us, how many of you open the Bible when I say, and I'm going to say in a moment, open to Hebrews 11, not yet. How many of you prefer your phone or a tablet or a device that you bring? How many of you prefer that? Nice and high. Okay, thanks. How many of you bring your own Bible each weekend? Not your phone is your own Bible, right? I get that. But your own, like this Bible, like I bring my Bible. How many of you do that? Let me see your hands. Okay. All right, next. How many of you prefer the worship Bible that we provide, the page number and all that? How many of you prefer that? All right, good. So this is an opportunity today and for the next several weeks, and I know you probably do this on a regular basis, but we're going to study the book of Hebrews just like we did with the Gods and Kings series this past summer, right? We're going to be real thorough. You're going to get a deep look at a singular book in the New Testament from the beginning to the end, all right? So it's an opportunity for you. I just talked to some new people in the church, and it's awesome to have them here. And I said, it's great for you to be here on this particular Sunday. We're starting a new series. It's going to be a longer series than maybe normal. And you're going to hear a whole lot about what we believe God is leading us into in 2018, 2019, and 2020. And it's a great time for you to be able to open your Bible and study. Here we are at the beginning of a new year, and we're moving into some stuff, and we're going to be walking by faith into some stuff, and it's a chance for you to really get into an in-depth spot in the Bible and go deep and thorough and wide, and it's going to have personal application to you in your everyday life, and it's going to have application for us as a church family. All right, so this is a great time to be here. And I'm really excited about it. So let me invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and kind of be ready at verse 1. You'll find it on page 974. And might I just say another word about these Bibles? Can I have everyone looking up here for a second? I want you to help me this year. I've been careful to say something because I don't want people to think that we look at the Bible as like an idol. Like, it is sacred, right? It is a sacred book. Sometimes when I leave after church, I see too many of these laying on the ground. So just as a little housekeeping item, let's all make a commitment this year that before you leave your seat, look around and make sure that if there's a Bible around you, that you pick it up. And by the way, if you want one of these, take them. We've given away hundreds. If you want this one or the one that's near you, take it, put your name in it, keep it. It might be your first Bible. Take it and use it until maybe you get a different one. But please help us that when you leave, just look around before you leave and place the Bibles on the chairs near you, like every third chair, something like this. Like if you're standing in front of a chair that is facing this way, that would just help our team tremendously. And it's the right thing to do. It is a sacred book, so we want to take care of them in that way. So I'm excited to go into this with you to spend the next several weeks studying faith. In this series, you're going to get a very helpful definition of faith. In this series, you're going to get stories of faith straight from the Bible. There may be a testimony or two, I haven't decided, but there's a lot of stories around you, a lot of people around you right now. I look around and I see stories of faith in just about every face. You're going to get stories of faith that are going to help build our faith together. And then we're going to explore steps of faith that we get to take together as a church family. If you remember, and hats off to Mike, he's new in our church today. They were here the first time last weekend when Kelvin preached, and he said, "Hey, I listened to your series." I love it when people come in and tell us they're new, and then they say, "Hey, we've been listening to your messages online." That's cool. That means they wanna hear certain things. They're looking for certain things. And anyway, Mike and his wife are here today, but he said, "I listened to your Us series," and I'm like, "Great." So if you remember that series back in the fall, I talked about what I called, just kind of casually, I called our eight markers. So our pastors and leaders, you know, we focus on these things. What's God doing, and how have we been fruitful, and what are the things we're good at, and how has God blessed us, and what have we learned that we believe we can share and move forward with? What does God want to do? I believe, let me just give you a little insight into your pastor. I believe that what God wants to do with us in the future, be that a few months from now or a few years from now, is probably the same kind of stuff that God's done with and through us over the years. Right? Things that we become pretty good at. Things that we are fruitful in. And so that gives us a little perspective on what God might want us to press into in the coming months or years. So the things that I laid out there in that series a couple of times, just in the midst of those messages, are things that shouldn't surprise you. And when I listed them back then, it didn't surprise any of you. It's just things we've done before, but we're going to take a fresh look at it and a fresh press into it. So you're going to explore steps of faith. So a definition of faith, stories of faith, and explore steps of faith that we get to take as a church family. So the series, as you can see on the screen behind me, is called Walk by Faith. Several times in the Bible, the people of God are challenged this way. To walk by faith, listen to the second part, not by sight. Not letting the circumstances around you dictate the measure of faith you're supposed to have in obeying God and serving God. Walk by faith, not by sight. And it's such a profound principle, such a fundamental principle to being a follower of Jesus that we can't ignore it as if, we already know that. That's easy. I've got that one. And what happens when we say that, sometimes we say it because we think it, we think we believe it, but then when we hear a better definition of it, we go, maybe I don't have faith, or maybe I need to check my own realities of what faith means, because I want to walk by faith. I want to do what God wants me to do. And so the main objective of this series, I'm going to sum up for you this way. The main objective of this series is to grow our faith through hearing and action. Hearing and action. So as a pastor, a discipler, a parent, a brother, a friend, when I'm doing what I do as a Christian, not just as a pastor, but when I'm discipling people and I'm trying to be a witness as a Christian, regardless of what career or calling I have, and I'm discipling someone, and it seems like they're hearing. Stay with me. It seems like they're hearing. I have to always be careful not to think that faith has taken hold yet. Same goes with me. I can't just assume because I'm hearing something or I'm making a mental check in that I have faith, because faith is not just hearing, faith is action. And I tend to get a little impatient with myself and with others when all I get is hearing. No action. Because I know that it can fool us to think, God, I've checked the box. God, I've said this prayer. Or God, I kind of get that. I see that. I go, yep, look what I did there. There's that belief out there, way out there. Check that box, and I'm not putting any feet to it. See, you only have biblical faith when there's hearing. And what I mean by that is there's comprehension, like I get that, and now I'm going to move into that by obedience and trust God. Do you hear the word? Do you hear the word faith in there? I'm going to show that I have faith in God because I trust His word and I'm walking in obedience. You see, we've always wanted to be a church of action. Now, I'm not trying to be impressive with that, but it's just true. We want to be a church of action, one that is making a difference in our community and world for generations to come. In that we have a multi-generational church that's going to last for generations. My generation is going to go. And I hope generations to come find a foundation upon which they can do what God wants to do in their generation. And so we want to be God's people in action, and I'm thankful that we've been a church that embraces new challenges and opportunities. So we're going to spend the next several weeks talking about faith, talking about the coming 2 years, these 8 markers, so to speak, and we're going to grow our faith through hearing and through action. So here is a beginning point. So we're going to be studying the book of Hebrews, this letter. It's not really a book technically, it's a letter, or your Bible might say the epistle to the Hebrews. Epistle is just a Latin word for letter. It's a letter written to a group of people, listen closely, that had specific challenges. Don't miss that. It's a letter written to specific people who are dealing with specific challenges, and you're going to get all of that background in this series so that you have context by which to learn here, and then you, as a Christian, have some context in which to take steps of obedience so that your faith grows, so that your faith can be alive, so that you can be beneficial in your faith to people around you and to your church. You see, some people say, what's a definition of faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, watch this. It's kind of like the apex of this letter. It's kind of that vantage point or that point in general that the writer's trying to get to. But when you're on that, if you've done any mountain climbing or anything like that, you go to the point and you can kind of see down both sides. You see where you've come from. And unless you're going to go back that way, you can see where you're going. Right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is kind of like that. So I want to start us in the middle, and then we're going to kind of trend all the way through this letter together. Here's a fantastic definition of faith, though it can seem a little mysterious when you first read it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, that can be a little confusing because oftentimes we think of faith as being, well, I just have to trust. I don't really know it, get it. I can't really grasp it. I'll just kind of passively trust. But that's not what's going on here. Now, faith is being sure. It's being sure of what? What we hope for. Now, watch. The readers of this letter have just had 10 thick, profound, amazingly well-crafted chapters. And they didn't have chapters back in the day when this was originally received by these believers. They didn't have it in the format that you do. They had it probably in a scroll, you know. They probably had it where it was only read to them publicly, right? And they were probably, get this, much better readers than your pastor. You know, they could probably be way more theatrical because the person up front, though I'm a trained speaker, everybody comes up here, we're trained in public communication, we know what we're doing, we communicate, but man, they were They were articulate and dramatic, and people just sat in rapt attention and listened to this whole scroll being read, probably in like 45 minutes. And they got it because they were used to receiving information that way. And they would realize that when he said, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for." All the things that I just read to you, would say the preacher in that day. And you're going to get all of that in this series. As a matter of fact, you can get it today. I want to challenge you. You can go home today and start reading this letter. And I hope all of you will. You got a lot of it in the Christmas series, if you'll recall. We used Hebrews chapter 1 as our anchor text for the Christmas series. That in the past, God spoke to our forefathers in various times and in many ways, but in these last days, He's speaking to us through His Son. So they know when the writer says here, and they're listening with their sophisticated minds that have been trained to read and understand, receive and understand information in this way, they had amazing memories. Listen, this was written to Jewish people. You ready for this? This particular letter was written to Jewish people that memorized the first five books of the Bible. Wait for it. There's the table of contents. They probably memorized that too. So they were very capable of understanding from their perspective what this writer said. Now, faith is being sure of what I just said. And being certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure that what was just communicated to these believers in that day about the person of Jesus Christ and how He fulfilled all the promises of God, you can be certain of these things. And the things that we don't quite know yet about the future, you can be confident that it's the same with those things, even though they're not clear right now. That's what faith is. But that's not all it is, because faith is not just hearing. It's taking steps into believing those things. So if you find at times that in a crisis or an opportunity, you find yourself flat-footed in your faith, it's because that's what you become used to. You haven't moved in what I might call casual obedience. I don't mean low-level or simplistic or meaningless. But a crisis or an opportunity is no time to find faith for it. Does that make sense? A crisis or an opportunity is no time to find faith for what God now has brought you to. Some people might say, well, I have faith in God. I might say in love. It depends. If you want some advice from a professional and somebody who's trying to walk by faith themselves, let's evaluate that. You might have this mental assent, but you might only have that, therefore you don't have faith. So I promise you a little bit of a ride here if you'll walk with us. Walk with us into the things that God has laid out for us. You say, well, where do you get that? You can look over there if you want, but in chapter 12 of Hebrews, after this discipler, this teacher, has communicated these fabulous truths about Jesus and who He is for the world, in chapter 12 he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by all these great witnesses of faith, throw off everything that hinders and walk by faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus and walk into these things, the things that God has marked out for you. See, I believe that God has marked out things for every church. Let me say that again. God has marked out things for every church. You say, what do you mean? Generally speaking, God has said to every church in every century since the beginning of the church, he said two main things. Jesus said two main things, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commission says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Might some of you aspire to baptize a disciple you've made? Might some of you see some of your children this year come to faith in Jesus Christ and either baptize them yourself or have a youth pastor or a life group shepherd or a pastor baptize them as a way for them to take steps in their faith, because they're not just hearing. See, that's the beauty of discipleship, and that's the structure and specificity of discipleship. You don't have a disciple unless there's movement, unless there's obedience, unless they're hearing the voice of God and walking in those things. So generally speaking, every church needs to have as its priority helping people take walks of faith as disciples through baptism. And Jesus goes on to say in the Great Commission, and teach them to obey. You ready for it? Everything I've commanded you. That takes a little while. That takes some time and some focus. And then the Great Commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And love each other. Love your neighbor as yourself. So marked out on the path of every church are these things. Now, specifically, okay, churches are allowed to have, listen closely, their unique expression of those things. Like we live here in the middle of a cornfield. We live here in the frozen tundra. You know, I have some friends visiting from Florida, and I'm like, ha! How's it going? And they're prepared. They're doing fine. We live here. How do we do this here? And we are us. We are Marysville Grace. How do we do this? Well, the answer to that is, if you want to know what Marysville Grace has as our unique expression of the obedience to these two things, come to a new attender dinner. Hint, hint. Come to our Discover Grace class. Spend some time one-on-one with one of our pastors or leaders, or join a life group or a Bible study and listen closely, even to our messages, and you're going to hear this unique expression. The mission of Marysville Grace is to make first-class disciples of Jesus Christ by learning the gospel, living the gospel, and giving the gospel. And all of these things have to be done by faith. What's that mean? It has to be done God's way. You don't have faith in your pastor. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Don't have faith in your church necessarily. Have faith in what God says about these things. And our unique expression of that is learning it, living it, and giving it. And each one of us is required as a disciple to be equipped to know the gospel, to learn the Bible to the best of our abilities, to live in love and faith and service and obedience together. Each one of us is required to be equipped to know our spiritual gifts, dealing with our own weaknesses and besetting sins, because your decisions affect others, and be living in honest, faithful, biblical relationships. I can tell you one thing you're going to learn here at Grace is you're going to learn to be a disciple through relationships. Relationships is our discipleship strategy. We want you to be ready to disciple people one-on-one or in a life group or one-on-two or in a Bible study. You see, all of this is how we love God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you ever think about how he might have said that? Because some people think if they could just picture Jesus saying that, he's doing something like this. If you love me, you keep my commandments. I don't think Jesus was trying to be coercive when he said that. I can't imagine Jesus kind of having an attitude. You know, like if you love me, you get your act together. I think he's saying it like this. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He's not going to do what I do and what you might do. Get all up in someone's face and be all. I don't see him doing that. I see Jesus in the scriptures saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's in the Bible. Well said. And it's from the mouth of Jesus. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he's moving. He's moving. I don't see Jesus standing around waiting for us to get it together. Now, he's patient. He's long-suffering. But he is on the move. And faith without movement is dead. See, all of this is how we love God. Now, let's look at a little more depth here, right? We're at the peak of this letter. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Then the rest of the chapter is about the ancients. Listen, people that lived a long time ago, many of them died in their youth. So when he says, this is what the ancients were commended for. You know, I love Sunday school curriculum, but man, sometimes when they make these guys in the Bible, you know, it's like so many of these young men and women died when they were your age because of their faith. It doesn't say these old people. It's like the heroes of the ancient days of faith lived this way and they were commended for it. They were world famous. As a matter of fact, this chapter goes on to say that the world was not worthy of any of them, though the world was their mission field. Now, what he does in verse 3 is astounding. This writer, like the writers of the Bible do, they mean business when they're writing these things. And he goes deep immediately. Because if you're going to believe that God's promises are true, it begins with this kind of faith. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Do you understand what that's saying? It says that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen, this table, this microphone, that field, that frozen pond, those trees, you can see a long way in Union County, were all formed. The mountains that you might have recently seen, the oceans, the stars, the universe was formed out of nothing. God didn't go to his supply room. He didn't go to Home Depot. He didn't call his father-in-law, hey, you got any number 5 nails? If there is such a thing, you can tell I may not do that very often. But he spoke it. You see, if you don't believe, now listen, I don't want to get into a debate. I can hold my own with the whole debate of creation and evolution, but there's a more important point. There's a more important truth that if you grasp this truth, the struggle solves itself. Do you believe your God can speak a universe into existence? Because if you don't, no story of Noah or Abel or Abraham or Sarah or any of them will matter because you will think that they believe in a small God. And therefore, you'll believe in a small God. So I love the fact that the writer says, all right, if we're going to talk about faith being the substance or being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see, let's talk about creation. Do you believe your God's capable of speaking things into existence? Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, because Abel believed that what God said he meant, therefore I need to obey this way. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. He never experienced death. He could not be found. He just vanished. Hey, is Enoch coming in today? I haven't seen Enoch for weeks. Well, where is he? He's gone. What do you mean gone? On vacation? Oh, he's gone. Well, did he die? Nope. You know, if you do a little bit of research, and you could do it from the time you get up when we're done to the time you get to the front door, and say, what does the Bible say about Enoch? That much. And this is the summary. Listen close. This is the summary of what the Bible says about Enoch. He walked with God. He walked with God. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. Though he did not experience death, he could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended. You're going to hear that word a lot in this letter. I took time to read the whole thing this week as carefully as I could in the early hours of my day, and it was amazing. It was amazing to get refreshed. Listen, if you'll enter this study with us, you're going to get deeply educated in the Old Testament. It's like, wait a minute, this is in the New Testament. You study this letter with us, you're going to get deeply educated in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because the focus of this letter, like all of the Bible, is the person of Jesus Christ. Who was he? Where did he come from? Why did he come? What did he do? Where did he go? What's he going to do when he comes back? Goes on to say next that without faith, see, Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. This kind of faith, not just, I believe there's a higher power, a superior being, a force in the universe. That's not faith, according to what the Bible's teaching. Right? Most people have that. You do know that. That's still, on our planet, well over 90% of the people believe there's a superior power. They don't believe this. This is true faith. It's not a giant wish or a leap of faith or silly, mindless superstitions that would embarrass you at the water cooler at work. Faith is trusting God that what He has said about life here and eternity there is true. But not just a mental box you check. You're living in it. See, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, almost like this pause when Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthians, just a few months after he wrote 1 Corinthians, he writes in chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We move. Faith means movement. Let me illustrate it this way as we wrap up. So, I don't want to be gross or anything, but and don't raise your hand because your neighbor might. How many of you, don't raise your hand. How many of you had the flu or a bad cold? Don't raise your hand. Last night I had a mom come in and she's like, just fist bump the pastor. You know, little sniffles. And he's fist bumping. And I'm like, hey, thanks. You know, because I've been good so far. We've had a little bit of this in our house and I've been good. And, you know, so Johnny walks by and then I'm like, hey, nice to have you here, Johnny. So you go to the doctor, right? And you're just like, and he's like, oh, okay, you know, let's diagnose that. So you diagnose it. And he said, okay, here's what you need. And you take that home, you lay it on the counter at home, and you walk away. You're not getting a kiss. You're not getting a whole lot for a while because you're not taking the prescription. See, a friend of mine says that when you see epistle in the Bible, when you see letter, an epistle, it's a prescription. And that's really, and it was Randy. He's going to be here. He's the scholar. He's the one that said it. But it's really a good concept. These people had specific challenges. And the writer, who is a doctor, is writing it out. It's not going to do any good. They're not going to have faith for it to have any impact unless they do what? Make a commitment to it. Go to the doctor or go to the pharmacist, get the prescription filled, take the prescription home, and as my wife, the nurse, would tell you, finish the prescription. Right? Some people get a pill, they take it for a couple days. This isn't working. I got to go to work. Take the pill. So what's going to happen over these weeks that are coming up is we're going to learn what hearing and action ought to be for the believer. Next week, we're going to give you an outline for the whole book, for the whole letter, that if you remember these three basic things next weekend, you can understand what this word is saying to your faith and how it can put your faith into action. That's our commitment to you. So I hope you'll go home and start reading. Maybe memorize some things. Learn the challenges that these believers in their unique setting were facing and how they overcame it. How they became the people of God for action in their day and what we can learn as we go forward and embrace the things that God has marked out on the path before us. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for the promise of your word, and might we hear what that actually means, that it has something for us that we need to grasp. It's a promise that needs to be taken, believed in. And I pray that if there's someone here, and I know that they're here, someone really facing some profound challenges of faith or work or family or love, that you would help them to know that your word has answers. And yet, it's a walk of faith. There has to be action, faithfulness of walking with you. Tune our hearts and minds to these things, Lord. We look forward to what you have for us in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.